Go. Hi, I'm Julie Zeiglin, the managing editor of Technically, a new site that covers local economies and change. And this is Technically on the Record, our new interview series in which we'll do a deep dive into one of our market's biggest stories of the week. It's a chance for us to look into our reporters' virtual notebooks and hear lessons from the tech communities of Philly, Baltimore, DC, Delaware, and Pittsburgh. And today I have with me Alex Galliani, who is Technically's business development manager for Baltimore and DC. So welcome, Alex.
Hi, Julie. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Alex, you are not a regular reporter for us. You're not a reporter at all. You are, as I mentioned, our business development manager, but you recently penned two essays for Technically Baltimore. The first one was called Navigating the Two Worlds of Baltimore, and that published about a month ago. And you also wrote more recently something called Demand Better. The conversation continues as we take action for racial equity in Baltimore. So I'll let you talk about those and the inspiration for those in just a minute. But I want to read the first couple lines from your most recent essay to sort of set the scene. You start out with this quote from Dr. Ibram X. Kendi. It says, "Any return to normal is a return to the normality of racism." And then you write, "We've reached a critical junction in our struggle for social justice. One thing has become clear. It's now time to dig in and fight like hell." So with that as the premise, Alex, please do share an overview of these essays. What inspired it, both of them?
Thanks. Thanks, Julie. Again, thanks for having me. The first one was inspired by the murder of George Floyd. I had long been talking with Stephen Babcock, our assistant editor and lead reporter in Baltimore, and he had been mentioning for a while, hey, you should write something, and I really wasn't sure what to write, and this is going back a couple years, and then it just kind of all came together after the murder of George Floyd. It just felt like now's the time, and now I know what I want to be talking about. And as a foregone expert on my own life and my own experiences, I thought, what better story to tell than my own? And really thinking about my own experiences dealing with racism and discrimination and growing up in a really unique neighborhood and surroundings as I did. And my real struggle for my own self-identity, it just kind of all fell into place, and was really a great opportunity for me to be able to share my story. And the response from that article was just absolutely fantastic, heartwarming, very moving. And as I mentioned in the second piece, the last 6 weeks or so, I've probably had some of the most powerful conversations of my entire life that, you know, was really inspired by and galvanized by the first piece that I wrote. And I quickly found myself with the second piece, Demand Better, thinking about, you know, again, in a very organic way, the conversations that I was having coming on the heels of the first article. A lot of folks were saying the same things and, you know, maybe slightly different ways. And, you know, in most cases, these people don't even know each other. Really only commonality was me. So, you know, again, I'm having all these conversations and all these folks are saying essentially the same thing from conversation to conversation to conversation. And I just felt like, oh, wow, I better be careful here. I'm starting to sound like and feel like a reporter here, like I'm, you know, doing some investigative journalism piece. And it really didn't set out that way. But I came away feeling that if the folks that I'm talking to are thinking this way, feeling this way, verbalizing in very similar ways, kind of the same thing, I'll bet a lot more people in our communities are thinking about this kind of the same way. So let me address that. Let me kind of speak to some of those points. So that's exactly what Demand Better was all about, was really an opportunity for me to report back to the community as a whole about what I was feeling and thinking and conversations that I was having along the lines of some very common topics and threads that I felt that a lot of people would probably be thinking about and feeling about. And also the second article really came about trying to push back against my greatest fear, and my greatest fear being complacency. And we all kind of return to life as normal or get distracted by, you know, other things, you know, in our lives. And to some degree, I mean, you know, we're living, you know, through unprecedented times, and I won't go into all the, you know, I mean, we all know what we're going through and all the different things that are competing for our time. But my feeling really was, this is too big, too important for all of us to let it slip through our fingers. So this piece was really about sustainability and keeping the energy and the movement alive as best as I knew how.
Yeah, something that really struck me as the reader was that your first essay was extremely personal, as you're describing your own experiences. Both of your essays, rather, explaining your own experiences, more recently talking with your children about systemic racism, for instance, but also they capture this collective moment that we're in, which you were just speaking to, and a lot of the conversations that many people are having, and some people are having for the first time, certainly, unfortunately. So I'm wondering who you had in mind as your audience when you were writing the second one especially. So the first one is, again, about your own experience and growing up in Baltimore. The second one is more a list of lessons, and it's sharing out advice for some of the common questions you were being asked. Mm-hmm. So did you have in mind that these lessons could be applied everywhere? Is it meant to be something that is more specific to Baltimore?
Yeah, absolutely. Great question. You know, I think going back for me as the business development manager here at Technically, some common language that I use when I'm talking with clients is looking at the value add that we offer and that we bring to the table. And that is local reporting done in the local communities that we understand and we get, and we are providing content and information that allows our client and our community as a whole to be actionable on that information that we're producing. So, and I think that's something that really resonates with us collectively across all the communities that we serve. And I think that is, you know, one aspect that really makes us unique. So kind of keeping with that was my sense of why I wanted to tie both of these really closely to Baltimore. One, especially as you mentioned in the first piece, growing up in Baltimore, it is a big part of the story and super relevant there specifically. But I think even for the second article, again, it's folks that I'm talking to, you know, in Baltimore, in my hometown. But unfortunately, these topics, these lines of thought are applicable across, you know, the entire country, dare I say, across the world. So, yeah, super relevant, I think, for all of us. But, you know, I also thought a bit about it, you know, these other national sites and platforms that do such a good job of telling these stories on more of a national level, feels like that's being done, right? So, you know, can I really get down to more of the micro level and be talking about this for, you know, the community specifically that I'm a part of, I'm involved in, and we as a platform as well support?
Yeah. And so you got a ton of response from the first essay that you wrote, which in part prompted the second essay. A line that I really appreciated in the more recent one was that you heard from non-racists, anti-racists, racists, and everyone in between. So what were some of the more surprising responses that you got?
I think... I don't know if surprising is the right word for me to internalize. I think in some way they were all really moving, whether it was talking to mothers of biracial children. Like, that was really fascinating for me, that I really tried to capture at least how I was feeling as a human being, almost looking at my own life being replayed through someone else's lives and their experiences, and, you know, how things from years ago are still plaguing us to this day, and the same challenges and fears that my own mother, I'm sure, grappled with. I was surprised by some folks' response that they weren't really sure if they wanted to get involved or why should they get involved. And that was jarring, to say the least. You know, I think a lot about on the micro level, and you know, thinking about the mental gymnastics that people have to go through to kind of square some of these things or have some of these issues make sense for them about whether why they're going to react or why they're not going to react. So that was really interesting for me to take part in those conversations and try and, you know, talk through some of those thoughts and feelings and better understand for myself how that could even be a question for some people. And in some cases, these are people that are really, really close to me. So that was really, I think surprising, but I count myself incredibly lucky to have folks that feel comfortable enough to be that vulnerable with me and to be that open and share genuinely how they're really feeling and knowing that it's okay, this is a safe space. And you know, if I can play some part in helping them kind of navigate that, I really do consider that a fortunate place to be, and that's part of the work that I'm committing myself to doing. The other aspect I thought was really interesting. I would put them in the non-racist category, and in the racist category, I heard a few comments, that was surprising. That was jarring to say the least. I think a lot of them came from a place of fear of, the fear that change is coming, and what does that mean to them and their way of life? And how's that going to impact them? So I found that really interesting. I've reached a point in my life where, if it's really blatant and really just obnoxious, as far as I'm concerned, it's not worth engaging. It's not worth taking the time to try and change somebody's mind. That's not what I'm here for. I have too much to do. So I'm just kind of moving along from some of those.
Yeah. So is there a third essay that we can expect? Is this an ongoing series?
I think so, yeah. I actually wrote two of them kind of in parallel and handed them both off to Stephen and said, what do you like? And and he picked, and working so closely with him has just been a godsend. It's been wonderful to be able to, you know, have him as my editor specifically on these pieces and you know, have these conversations and work through them. It really is speaking to a part of me to be able to try and play some role here. I think, you know, working with a team of outstanding journalists and our own newsroom, I'm even wordsmithing my emails because I know, you know, everybody internally that's reading my stuff. So it's made me a better writer and aspire to be an even better writer. So yes, I've basically already written the third one and will now take some time to just edit and get it right. But it feels relevant for the times. And, anything that I can do to help and support.
Thank you. Alex Galliani, appreciate you joining.
Thank you.
Yep. This has been Technically on the Record. I'm Julie Zeglin. Thanks for listening.